This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Hannah.
How's your week going?
It's going well. It's crazy about, Virginia and Maryland weather and DC weather. Interesting. I have a feeling it's going to be hot again in a few weeks. So my allergies, not the greatest. Other than that,
yeah, it may be hot by the time this airs.
Probably.
It's hot Thursday.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, there you have it.
No, so we're currently recording this October 3rd. So we are talking to future people.
So I'm hoping future Rachel is doing great. Yeah. How about you, Hannah? How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I have been busy. I'm trying to think. I had to get a new dryer recently. So that was kind of crazy. Adulting. I really like my new dryer because it's a smart dryer.
You told me it tells you on your phone or something?
Yeah, like connects to my phone.
It lets
me know the type of washes. I can like set it to run at certain times. It's just like things you really don't need a dryer to do, this dryer does.
It's like way advanced for what it
should
be.
But
it's a good thing.
A dryer just needs to dry your clothes. Yeah, there needs to be like a high, medium, low setting. Maybe a timer. I don't think I truly need it to connect to my phone. But the only reason I got the smart one versus the non-smart one is because this did have more drying settings.
Oh,
it had like 10 versus like 6. And I was like, well, that sounds, you know, reasonable, more drying.
And if depending on the price too, you never know. That's what's funny because sometimes the ones that are more advanced could be cheaper.
Yeah, so me. I always think it's like an investment because
especially if you sell someday, you know.
Yeah, which I can take my dryer with me.
No, you can, but if you didn't want to.
Yeah, like, so if my other place has I can always like switch out the dryer. That's what I always say because I have a really nice oven too, so I can.
Yes, you do.
I can switch out my oven when I move. So. Yeah, so that's what's going on. I've been like adulting. Just trying to
live your life.
Yeah, trying to survive as an adult. Like, I had to get a new tire, a new dryer, which I found out that Mars was in retrograde from like September.
You didn't know that?
7th or something I did in these moments. Yeah, until today. Well, today's October 3rd.
It's crazy that they were saying. They were saying it's all funky stuff.
Yeah, so apparently it can impact technology, which for me it did. So,
yeah, I wish that I could say that happened to me, but it was in August when I was having car stuff again. So,
yeah,
I can't blame the retrograde on that.
Yeah. Anyway, so this episode is with Funkle Sam. He actually reached out to us over the summer, which was really cool of him to do. And he does a thing called Funkle Fest in Huntington. And he kind of talked a little bit about that. And we got to kind of know him. And so, yeah.
Enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Funkle Sam, a.k.a. Perry Casto. We met you through Alan Brown, a.k.a. Corduroy Brown, who we interviewed.
You got that.
Oh, okay.
What'd you think about Corduroy Brown?
I really liked him, and I really like his music. I listen to it from time to time.
He's got a good thing going on.
Yeah,
he really does. Really great personality, too, and great person.
Great person altogether.
Really cool story. Yeah. Like, I mean, he almost died and everything, and... And so, living his dream. So, Funkle Sam is a part of a band called the MFB. Is that correct? And you guys have been around for 10 years in the tri-state area of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio.
Yes, 10 and a half years, going on 11. Funkle Sam's been entertaining the masses to get them to shake their asses, if that's okay to say on the airwaves.
Yes, it's perfectly fine. We'll just mark it explicit.
Perfect. But we have I love it.
That's right. All right. So yeah, we've been doing that. So that's what we do. We are party band extraordinaire, but you know, we're not no generic wedding band. I mean, it's a big experience with the MFB.
Yeah. So who do you want to say who else is in that band? Or
sure, absolutely.
You?
So we have our drummer. Our drummer is James Hairston. We have Randy Gilkey on guitar and synth and keys. We've got Stephen Harper on bass, and we've got Blake Burkholder on guitar. So right now we're just a five-piece, but MFB's been all the way up to about a nine-piece at times, so it just fluctuates. And our girth gets a little bigger. Sometimes our girth gets not as girthy. So right now we're in our lean times, but that's all right. The sound's still big.
Yeah,
I love that word, girth.
Girth is an underutilized, definitely, it really is. So if you get more girth in your life, you're on the good things.
Yeah. So I know I read that you did an interview, and MFB doesn't really have like a true meaning, except you could say like my favorite band, or it's like what, when people ask you that, you usually say, well, what do you think that means to you?
Are you stealing all my secrets from other interviews?
I just read up on you a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did your homework. Is this like Nardwar the Serviette? Are you all like him or something?
No.
You know who I'm talking about? No, I'm teasing.
No, not at all.
All right, you need to check out Nardwar, though. He always does his homework when he interviews people. But, yeah, the MFB is, it's really, I mean, it can be, you know, the mother funkin' band or the mother effin' band, if you want to be really explicit. But really, it's what you want it to be. And then if people say it's something, I always ask them, yeah, what is it? And they say, well, it's my frickin' band or mother effin', I don't know. They'll say, I get all kinds of stuff. And I always tell them, yeah, you got it on the first shot. You nailed it. So
you were hoping that I would ask that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is, really. It's really just about making it your own, right?
Having fun and making it yours, exactly.
Yeah, so that's what MFB is about. So
how did you start Funkle Sam?
Funkle Sam didn't really come into focus until about 3 years into the MFB. But I always knew.
Wow.
Yeah, so but when we started it off, I was approached by Jeremy Martin, who Jeremy Martin is no longer in our band, but he's still an active musician in the Huntington and Charleston and kind of area. He's still playing bass and whatnot, but he was in the first incarnation of the MFB, and he asked me to come on board with this idea. He wanted to kind of put together like an electro-funk kind of outfit. So, and I'd already been in another band for multiple years, and I'm going to say I'm an all right entertainer. I like to entertain the masses. So he thought I'd be a good.
I don't know. You're entertaining us right now.
Oh,
I love it.
All right. Color me pink, or whatever color you want to color me. All right,
red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. That's what you're coloring me. But yeah, that's how it started. Funkle Sam persona didn't come until about 3 years down the road after that. There's a costume rental place in Huntington that was going out of business that was like an institution called Magic Makers. And this gay couple had run this just fantastic, and really they had everything you can think of, this costume shop. But they had done it for like 30 or 40 years. But when they hung it up, they got rid of all their inventory, and then all their rentals they sold at the rental price. And old Funkle Sam, this isn't the actual costume. This is actually an approximation. This one's I don't know. This is like a country and western kind of deal right now.
I love that. That's awesome, though, the pattern.
Yeah, I found that one on Facebook Marketplace, the wonders of Facebook Marketplace. But that's what I got, the original Uncle Sam costume. Before that, I was just kind of doing a lot of weird, I don't even know. It's definitely inspired by like Parliament Funkadelic and funk bands like Cameo and Rick James and whatnot. That, you know, they'd really put on a big show, but they'd also be dressed up in big costumes and whatnot. So that was always something that kind of stuck with me, is not only are we going to have great music, but we're going to put on a fantastic show as well, which a lot of bands don't really – dial into that, which they really should, because that's it's like you're missing out on half of what you can do to get people entranced in your music. So, yeah, so I'm Funkle Sam now.
Well, it's acting, you know.
It is.
Well, it's an art. It's acting and doing stuff on stage. So you want to have fun and show that you're having fun with your music and showing, you know, your art form. Mm, so absolutely. I think it's really cool that you're doing that.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's really weird because, like, I'm a school teacher. I'm a fourth grade school teacher. And I've been teaching for about 20 years now. I know that my youthful look doesn't look as though that I've been teaching for 20 years, but I use lots of oil LA. So it makes me really young. So I teach school, and there's a whole different – I'm a whole different person in school. And then when I'm Funkle Sam, it's like, all right, switch the gear. Here comes my id, and the id comes out, and this is the id. So
do any
party.
Of your students get to see your other persona?
So sometimes, but I got in some trouble along the way. Yeah, so I try to keep it separate. I about got fired at one point. I was suspended for 14
Why?
Days.
What happened?
16 days without pay. I put on kind of a racy kind of performance at a New Year's Eve show in Huntington, West Virginia, where I'm from here. Some video got leaked out, and it was my fault in that I shared that video as well. From my own personal account, which I shouldn't have. And I guess word got around to the performance, and it wasn't anything like any weirder or crazy that like Lady Gaga or anyone else would do. But I mean, for a teacher, but I wasn't an elementary teacher then. I was a high school teacher then. I mean, I guess I get some of it, but actually I don't get about 90% of it. I mean, if I went and really pressed the issue, I mean, it could have gone to, you know, the federal level, really freedom of expression kind of thing, because I ultimately all I'm really doing is singing and thrusting my hips. And that's it.
And they did that.
Well, I mean, can I give you a little more context? You'll understand, but really, if you really peel back the onion, it was just me thrusting my hips. But here's what it is, if you want to know the full scoop about why I about got fired, is so it was New Year's Eve, so you know who Baby Huey is, right? So like in New Year's, like that image of the baby child, yes, with the sash, yes, and then the hat, the top hat. And so I made the miscalculation of, well, it was actually a wonderful concept. I love concepts. So the concept was I come out as Father Time, you know, Father Time, old in a cloak with a hourglass. I'm holding an hourglass and a cane, and I'm all old with the beard and stuff. So I come out like Father Time, and then halfway through my set, I shed my Father Time, and underneath I'm Baby Huey to kind of signify the new year. So I'm getting rid of the old year, and I'm Baby Huey, I'm the new year. And I guess it was lost in context. Here I am in a diaper and a sash and a top hat. And here I am thrusting my hips. Now, you don't know. Have you ever heard of Here Come the Mummies? You ever heard of Here Come the Mummies? So check out Here Come the Mummies. They're a funk group, and they're pretty outrageous. And they sell this thing. I'll go get it for a second. It's called a cow belt. And you just have to see it to what it is. But you strap this cow belt on your waist. And then you thrust it, and it. So imagine this being the cowbell. Every time that you thrust your hips, the cowbell mallet will go dunk, 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 dunk. So,
give me a second. I'll show you real quick.
This is the cowbell.
Oh wow! Okay.
So look at that contraption. So imagine me.
So do you
want to
describe it for our listeners?
So for the listeners, let me describe it. It's like if you had a wrestling belt. Like a WWF kind of WCW wrestling belt around your waist with a little protective cod piece at the bottom to go around your protective area. And then there is a cowbell affixed to that belt. And then there's a mallet. And then when you shake the mallet, it makes the... So I can give you a quick demo. to give you a.
And so you had that on.
So that's about how I got fired.
Oh, yeah, with the diaper and the missed contacts. Yeah, I could see. But even then, it's fun.
Who'd have thunk? It was New Year's Eve. This is a freedom of expression. I'm just having fun on stage, consulting, consenting adults. What can you say?
It's not like you did it at the school. That's what I was afraid
of. No, it's very separate.
I thought
separate.
That's where the story was going
to go. No. It's very separate. Like I said, it's two separate worlds. So. Yeah. So, but you can understand why some people were maybe a little upset. I get it.
Well, and you're in Huntington, West Virginia, a little more conservative in some places.
Little bit more. Yeah, a lot more conservative. But
yeah, well, I mean, at Marshall, they weren't too bad. But
yeah, in the city limits, it's not too bad. In the city limits of Huntington, it's not too bad. But once you kind of go outside the city limits, it's like, oh, yeah, pretty. It's Trump
like
train. Yeah, Outwayne, it's Trump country, so.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. So that's what happened. I'm sorry, I went on a different track there to kind of give you some backstory of that.
I liked it. This is how our podcast is. We want people to say what they'd like to tell people.
I'm not ashamed of any of it. I did grow from that experience. And I now conduct myself in the same kind of way, but I'm just a little bit more careful about it and about picking my moments when to get freaky and kind of reading the room a little bit better.
Right. So one reason why you reached out to us, I don't want to lose track of time, is because on August 8th, you premiered a new video called
Ding, ding,
Big
ding,
Booty
ding,
Judy.
Ding, 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 ding. Big Booty Judy with a movement in a sway would love them by the masses from everywhere, they say. That's right. Big Booty Judy's out there. Big Booty Judy's out there.
What inspired that?
Well, actually, the music and lyrics. Do you really want? Okay, so here's another backstory. So the inspiration for Big Booty Judy was actually at our live shows, we would have a blow up doll that we would inflate, and we would put, we would dress her up, and we would call her Big Booty Judy. And then we'd have her with us on the side, and we'd be partying with Big Booty Judy. And then sometimes we'd send Big Booty Judy out into the crowd, and then she'd kind of be crowd surfing and stuff, and would have a good time with us at our shows. My bass player actually wrote a riff and wrote some lyrics, and I helped him kind of clean it up a little bit, and then Big Booty Judy was born. And we actually released this song in 2019. And it had pretty good effect when it came out, but it came out like right before the pandemic. So I always had during the pandemic, I had it in the back of my mind. I was like, we didn't really hit Big Booty Judy the way it should have. We should have had a video to go along with it. So we released a video just recently, and it's kind of revitalized it and brought it back to life. Yeah, it was a fantastic video that we did. Hey, Google, turn on the lights to 53%. Oh, there we go. Is that better? Or is that worse?
See, Google listens. Her Amazon don't listen to us sometimes.
Yeah. Google just turned the lights on for all the non-visual listeners out there. Google just made us lighten up here a little bit.
Yeah. So how did you come up with the inspiration of the music video? Or did you just
so
say like that?
Actually, it seems like everything I have has a backstory. It's so weird. So I'm in another band, and it's called Boulevard Avenue. So Hannah, are you from West Virginia? Or did you go to Marshall or something?
Yeah, I did. I'm from Boone County.
Oh, so you know Jesco White, right?
Yes.
All right. Best friends with Jesco White.
I actually do. My dad knows that family very well. And maybe
very
actually
nice.
Said she would be on my podcast, but I don't
know. I have another wonder because I know somebody else who I worked with last year as a teacher. Her name now is Courtney Hall, but her name was Courtney Belcher. Do you know Courtney Belcher? I think she was from Boone County.
Familiar, but I'm not
sure. All right. Okay, no big deal. Courtney Belcher. She went to Marshall as well. But she might be closer to your age. I'd say she's 23.
Oh, Sam, 33.
Okay. Well, I misjudged your age. So I got you. Well, I hit you way low. Hit you way low. Hit you way low.
See, Hannah, I told you. Didn't I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Also, what were you saying again? I'm sorry.
That we were talking about the inspiration for the music video, and then you brought up Jessica White.
So sorry, I Jessica White'd you. So the inspiration for the video was I'm in another band called Boulevard Avenue. So you're from West Virginia. So you know what Tudor's Biscuit World is, right?
Yeah.
Tudor's
Biscuit World. I gotta have my buttermilk biscuit.
So we came out with Boulevard Avenue. We came out with a love letter to Tudor's Biscuit World called.
Or as Obama said, two doors. I think that's how we say it.
Yeah, yeah.
We
released an album called Biscuits.
Did
We released an album called Biscuits as Usual, where all the biscuit names like Dottie, Tootie, Mary B. We wrote an entire album and made all these different songs. So in that process, there was one song we had called Big Tater. You know what a big tater is, right? Well, big tater's an item on the Tudors, but that was probably our strongest release on that album was Big Tater. And we always wanted to do a video for that. And the idea was like a going through the TV kind of trope, you know, where you go through the TV and then you get transported to some like magical land or something. So that was kind of the idea. That was the genesis of it. But in that video, so you know what Camden Park is then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so in that video, which we didn't get to shoot, these kids would be sucked into the television and they would be transported to Camden Park and it would be like a little boy's dream and everything that they did at Camden Park would be like everything that they wanted, their wildest fantasy came true. But that never panned out and we never did that. We never got permission to shoot at Camden Park. So what we did instead is I kind of still had that idea that, you know, going being sucked through the TV trope and then I just kind of added, you know, that Big Booty Judy's, you know, some kids get sucked into the television and then they're transported into Big Booty Judy's land. And then we had this idea of being at grandma's house. And then at the very end of the video, we find out that Big Booty Judy is indeed just grandma. So that's what it is. So, and that's how we rolled with that.
Did you ever, speaking of Camden Park, because I know my mom's listening and she's going to think of this, but did you ever see that commercial? It was probably like in the 90s, early 2000s, and it was for Camden Park, and it was a classroom of kids, and they were all telling about their summer, and one kid was like, I went to Paris, and like the kids yawned, and like one's like, I went to New York, and they're just like, ugh. So boring. And then one kid's like, I went to Camden Park, and everyone just,
I do remember that.
Yeah,
That's a great commercial.
Yeah, it's a great commercial because I one remember it, and two, I don't think Camden Park's that exciting. And
no,
that
it's
also
not.
Is what made it really funny.
The only way, I mean, actually, there's a definite soft spot my heart for Camden Park just because I just love nostalgia, and that place is just the smells and what you see, like. There's only one smell of the haunted house that when you go in that haunted house, it's the only smell that smells like that haunted house anywhere in America. And it's just everything. It's a complete experience at Camden Park. But it is memorable in ways that you could possibly die on rides too. The Big Dipper is a very scary wooden roller coaster. It should probably be demolished. It looks rickety. It looks like the rickety-est roller coaster in the history of man.
It was rickety 20 years ago when I was there. So
it was rickety back in the 50s when it was made. So, I mean, so we're just, I think it's being held together by a couple rubber bands and some chewing gum that was left there in the 80s. So, yeah, so that's what's going on.
There you go.
So that was the inspiration.
It's a shame that they didn't let you film.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. So I just got finished up with a big event. So I put on a big event called Funktofest, and we just had that on Saturday. And
that's right. I read that in your email.
Yeah, we had a big event, and we have this every year. And we had about 1,000 people show up. on Saturday at the Ritter Park Amphitheater. So it got pretty blowed up. So I'm still kind of reeling from all that. So I plan that thing all year long, and I get all the collection of all the funkiest and grooviest people in the region to come together to play, and it was a great day. Saturday was awesome.
How did you start doing that?
There was two other bands that kind of got the idea of doing it with me. If you've heard of The Settlement before, they're originally from Huntington, but they're kind of based out of Beckley now. Colton Settle, I was talking with him. And then if you've heard of Beggars Clan, they just broke up, but they had been together for about 10 years before they broke up.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad because they're a really fantastic band. And we just had this conversation because we would play together whenever we would kind of share the bill together. We would call ourselves Trifunctiforce. And we always thought, well, shit, we could take the show anywhere. We can go across the nation with the same. We could take a little mini tour. So we played probably 3, 4, 5 times together, and the conversation kind of turned from, "Hey, we're doing Trifunctiforce, but let's see if we can make a festival out of this. Let's see if we can get a bunch of people involved." And then I got lucky in that one of my friends was curating the Sunday shows at the Ritter Park Amphitheater at the time, and it was called Ritter Live. And they had those shows going on Sunday, but it was a much more laid back and like a donation kind of event going on. But I approached the guy who was curating it, and he's actually now my business partner in Funktifest. And asked him, I was like, "Hey, would you be cool with asking the people at the Greater Huntington Park and Recreation District if I could curate one of those Ritter Live days that is on a Sunday, but change it from a Sunday to a Saturday and do a funky festival, just a festival that's kind of, you know, has a bunch of groove and funk and jammier kinds of things." And that's where it started. So we just kind of dropped the Trifunctiforce into Funktifest.
And what year did you start it?
We started in 2016, and we just finished year 6.
Oh, that's really awesome. So you were able to do it during the pandemic?
Yeah. Or? What was it?
You were able to do it like in 2020?
That was the only year. So this would have been our 7th, actually.
Oh, okay.
This would have been our 7th year. So, yeah, we didn't get to do it in 2020. We had to shut it down that year. But every year we've just been just working a little harder and getting it a little tighter. And this year it just popped off something fierce.
And so you get sponsors and everything like that?
Yeah, we had like 63 sponsors this year. Like, awesome. I go out and do the big hustle and get all these businesses involved. And it ain't easy being Funkle Sam. But I want to make sure that everyone's taken care of. And the only way to make sure that everyone's taken care of is by going out and getting all these sponsors. So I work hard. I'm not the kind of promoter that's going to like tell the band, "Hey, you got to go sell tickets to make money and shit like that." Nah, I ain't doing that. I'm going to make sure that I go out there and bust my hump so I can pay them a good salary for their time and their talents to be there.
Mm, that's
so
really awesome.
Well, you believe in them and you don't want them to have to worry about all that other stuff. You rather them focus on their talent and everything else.
I'd rather them. Absolutely. I focus on them just doing their thing and then trying to compensate them as best as we can to make it worth their while. And we throw in little perks like, for example, he's actually our guitar player in the MFB, Blake Burkholder. He has a business where he does guitar. He's a repairman for guitars and stuff. And he's been under the tutelage of some really great guitar repair guys. So his business, I had him at Funktifest, and he set up a canopy in the back of the amphitheater. And he was given free setups to the guitar players in all the bands. And I don't know how much business he got, but it's a good networking opportunity for him to meet with all these different artists and whatnot. So that's just like another perk. You know, if you're a guitar player, if you're getting a free setup for guitar, I mean, normally that's like a $30, $40, $50 service. So we throw that in for free on top of all the catering that everybody gets. So we're just trying our best to take care of everybody.
No, that's really awesome that Thanks. You do that.
Thanks. Yeah. It's a labor of love. And I know it puts it just puts a strain on things just because of what it is and how deep and hard you have to go to get it to work.
Do you
right?
have dates for next year?
So we don't decide our dates until the Marshall football schedule comes out. So we always try. Cool. Yeah. So we try to avoid any kind of home football game. And that's smart. It's just smart. And then also we get sponsorships from hotels. So it's kind of the first thing, one of the first things that we go out and get a sponsorship with, and they're less likely to do sponsorships on game days because so many people come in from out of town. So,
right.
Yeah. So we try to, money. Yeah, they want to make money on those days and I get that completely. So we try to do it on down weekends if possible. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year we'll be there.
Not a maybe. So, no maybe. Maybes. You tell me now. I'll put you
Anna,
on a guest
we
list.
Need to.
Tell me okay, now. I'll put going. You on a guest. There it is. In there like swimwear.
I already made executive decision made.
Funktonfest 7.
Yeah, that's
More
exciting.
Funk for your buck.
Seven's a lucky number. So how many?
It is.
Do you get bands from all over, not just?
It's a little bit of both. So it really is a big celebration of West Virginia and an area kind of tri-state kind of acts in Ohio and Kentucky, but mainly a lot of West Virginia acts that are just kind of undiscovered, but they're just scintillating. You know, we got some superbly funky and groovy acts that, here in Huntington, West by God, Virginia, it's kind of like a little bubble, or just West Virginia in general. And there's some really fantastic acts, and it's hard to bust through that bubble sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like a Corduroy Brown, right? And Corduroy Brown knows that he has to get outside of Huntington, bust through that bubble in order to reach the bigger masses. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to like elevate all these really fantastic bands. Like, for example, you all know Tyler Childers, right?
Yes, yes.
So Tyler Childers got his real big break, really, in Huntington. Huntington's where he really cut his teeth, really refined his chops, was in Huntington. He would play Black Sheep open mics. He would play the V Club open mics.
I love the V Club. I used to go there all the time when I was...
They've rebranded. We did our after party at
the... Yeah, I heard that. I don't like their name. But what did you help with the name after I just
I did not.
That?
I did not help with the name, but...
What's the name now?
It's called The Loud. The Loud.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
The V Club was such a better name.
Okay.
It was. So a lot of people...
Yeah, that's just... I like the other name.
Yeah, a lot of people gave a lot of flack. But, I mean, it is an upgrade in a lot of ways. It's not
so
as dead.
Do you know?
Go ahead. No, you're good. Go, go, go.
Do you know Jimbo Valentine?
I do know Jimbo. Jimbo helped us out. Yeah, I know Jimbo really well. So Jimbo
did
helped
you listen
us.
To his, he was on this show.
When was he on it?
Last season. I'll have to send you that.
Oh, yeah. So I know Jimbo.
I heard a lot of classes with him back in the day.
Yeah, I know Jimbo really well. He's done a lot of different things. He actually, the first 2 years of Funktofest, he was the graphic designer of the first 2 years of Funktofest. So if you go back and look at all those flyers, that's all Jimbo Valentine stuff. So about every 2 years, we refresh a different graphic designer and whatnot to kind of be featured. So this past year was Romy Williamson. His work is fantastic. So you get a chance to check out Romy Williamson. Woo, I tell you, he's something. And then the 2 years before that, we had Brian Pickens as our graphic artist, and he was fantastic as well. But Jimbo Valentine, fixture in the scene. I remember when Jimbo just came to Huntington and just got hired by the V Club. You know, so yeah, I've known Jimbo for a good long time now.
Yeah, I had classes with him back in the day and everything, and just like kept touch through like Facebook and
yeah. So he did like the art on Tyler's Purgatory.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the artwork on Purgatory. And then he's done countless, you know, flyers. He's probably in the thousands, I'm sure, of flyers that he's made for the V Club and other venues and music festivals. And he has a certain stylistic kind of, he's very recognizable. Like, you can tell it's a Jimbo Valentine kind of flyer when he makes it. So I've been lucky that he's made a few for the MFB and Boulevard Avenue. He's made ones for Boulevard Avenue too. And yeah, I cherish those.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to his episode.
I will. I will peep that for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it's a small world.
It is a small world. Rachel, where are you from?
I am from Springfield, Virginia, just outside of D.C., like 15 to 20 minutes. All right. DMV area.
So where are you guys located right now, collectively?
We're in Northern Virginia, so like the D.C. Northern area. Virginia.
So we've played in Northern Virginia. We played in the Alexandria area,
okay,
I think,
that's
once.
Really close.
Yeah. Where in Alexandria?
I think it was Alexandria. It was called like the Java, what was it called? Java joint?
No, that's in Java. I know which one you're talking about. Jamming Java.
Jamming Java.
That's in
Vienna.
Fairfax.
It's in Vienna.
Oh, Vienna. That's what it was. Yeah.
I was like, Vienna.
Yeah.
Well, so, no, Vienna. Well, they count Vienna Fairfax because we call it Nova.
Right. So we played there. We played there once. It was probably before the pandemic, but we had a really good time and experience there. It was because our show, if no one's ever seen it, it takes them off guard. It takes about 10 minutes to 15 minutes for your brain to process what's going on. Because
like,
it's so
what
full,
in the world did I sign up for?
Because it's so full tilt.
Well, now I'm even more stoked for it. Now that you said that, like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I love it. Most performers see the boundary between the stage and the crowd, and I don't.
That's fine by me.
And
so, do you crowd surf then?
I mean, if it got thick enough, I would crowd surf. But if I understand that, I'm geriatric in comparison to, you know, all the acts that are out there. But so I could break a hip, you know, I could be incapacitated if I crowd surf. But no, I'm actually pretty fit and I can get around pretty well for my age, so it's okay. But I would crowd surf.
How old are you? Are you like 43?
I'm 40. I'll let you go with that. It's like the MFB question. Yes, I'm 43.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I am 43. Well, thank you.
20 years of teaching.
Right. You do the math. Right?
How old are you, really?
I just turned 46 in September.
Okay, so that was close.
Yeah. Like I said, oil of LA does wonders.
Yes.
Regenerative masks, you know?
Yeah, well, you don't look like you have any gray hair. The
resolution on the camera must be really low.
Okay.
Must be really low.
So how did you even get started with wanting to be in a band and wanting to just be a performer?
You know what? So I was an athlete pretty much through high school and whatnot. And I didn't really get into like performing or like music really until I was about 18. I learned just some chords on a guitar. I was 18 and I didn't learn them very well either. And I didn't really get semi proficient at playing guitar until I was about 23 or 4, really. So that was my entry. So before that, though, what really got me into music was dancing. Dancing got me into music because I'm an 80s child, and the 80s ran right into the 90s. And the 80s and the 90s, if you didn't dance, you were nobody in the 80s or the 90s. And everybody who was somebody could dance well. So I learned that early on, that to get ahead and get people to notice you, you got to be a good dancer. So, in my ninth grade, best dancer superlatives, and 12th grade, best dancer superlatives back that up. So, it all started with dancing and just the love of music and dancing. I always liked to sing it. I always sing pretty good. But I also had a weird kind of like, I had that 80s kind of like bravado, like I had to be a tough guy or something, you know, and sissies sang and things like that. And I didn't get all that. So I was I was hard-headed in my youth. But in college, as I started, you know, going out to open mics and stuff and having fun with my friends, and it was actually open mics were kind of got me into music too. It was kind of weird. I'd get up there and I noticed that I always had a lot more courage than other people to get up there to do things, where other people would have to get smashed or whatnot to go up and sing. I wouldn't have to. I'd be like, well, I don't care. Give me a mic. I'll go up there and sing something. Even to the point where I would challenge other people. I'd be like, all right, let's do some suicide karaoke. I pick your song. You pick my song. And let's try it. And yeah, so it started like that. And then after, I don't know, when I was about 24 or 5. Can you all hear me? I feel like I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When I was about 24 or 5, I started a band called 40 Pound Snapper with one of my buddies. And it was more like
a name.
40 Pound Snapper. 40 Pound Snapper, like a snapping turtle. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I assumed as much.
Yeah, well, some people think a fish, like a red snapper, like a fish, but
right.
So we did a lot of classic rock and a lot of this stuff that, you know, the greats, you know, Pink Floyd, the Beatles, and Allman Brothers, and we would do a lot of covers and stuff. So that was kind of how I just got my chops and up to speed, was doing a lot of that. But I always knew in my heart that I liked that, but it wasn't real fulfilling because we hadn't written a lot of original material. So at about the 8 or 9 year point, I kind of dipped out of all that and started just playing a lot of solo shows. And that kind of gave me a little bit more autonomy to do and things that I like to do. But even then, I kind of got in a rut and didn't have a lot of original material. For the longest time, I never thought any of my original stuff was worth a damn. And I didn't have much confidence in it. So it took me, I'm a slow learner. It took me some time to kind of understand that it doesn't really matter what you think about it sometimes. You just keep on creating and other people might dig what you're doing. So all the boys and girls out there, just never stop. That's really it. Keep creating. Don't ever stop. And don't get down on yourself to all the boys and girls out there out in radio land. Just believe in yourself. Keep creating. Don't worry about any of that other baloney about your self-worth in creating. Just do it. So I finally got to that point where, like, I don't care. I'm just going to start creating. And it started really being in a band called Tweed Jacket. So after 40 Pound Snapper, I was in a band called Tweed Jacket, and they wrote all originals, and I was just kind of more of an auxiliary member. And then that gave me more confidence to write the Biscuit album with my buddy Alex McCoy, and that's kind of where it went from there. And at the same time, I was doing the MFB, but we hadn't had a lot of original material. But after that, we started writing a lot more originals. So that's where I am.
Let's take a little break.
Perfect timing. I want to talk about the merch we have for sale on our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com.
Oh, and especially our cozy hoodies. I absolutely love mine so much. I even wore it on Sunday when it was freezing outside.
They are perfect for everyone. We even have t-shirts.
People can order merch now while supplies last and receive 15% off by using our listener code TELLINGPEOPLE found in our episode notes.
And back to our show. Uncle Sam, what would you like to tell people?
I'm just going to kind of go with what I just was going. Is that all right if I keep on that same thread? Throw away your indie magazines that give reviews on things. Throw all that shit away. Fuck the critics. Do what you feel is great in your heart and keep creating. And don't worry about anybody else. If it rings true with you, then that is the shit. And that's the good stuff. That's the funk. You go with your heart and you roll with that, then that's what it is. And don't worry about what everyone else does. Go with your vision. Don't compromise your vision. Don't compromise it at all. Go with your vision, even if it sometimes strains other things in your life. because that integrity to your creative vision is paramount. So don't let people back you off of how big something is, how incredible, how fantastical it is. Don't believe any of those people, those dissenters. Go with your heart and go big. So that's my word, everyone. Stay true.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
I loved what you said. That really was encouraging me. It was really doing this to me because I've been down. So when you were saying
don't be
that,
down.
I was like, that's so encouraging. So hey, thank you.
I'm a school teacher. I'm here to motivate and to build people up.
So, I'm an art teacher. Well, I still am. I'm a private art teacher.
All right. Well, don't be down on yourself. Just keep creating. Just keep all creating. Right. Keep going. F the haters.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And the most important thing is don't ever stop. Be a lifer
that's
on
true.
It. If you quit, that's then true. you're going to be less likely to jump back into it. So if you're an artist, you like to create, don't ever stop. That's it. That's it.
What do you teach? I don't think
so. I teach fourth grade, all subjects.
Okay.
I teach.
That's a good age.
It is a great age. It's the 9 and 10 year olds. Very impressionable
they're
age.
So fun.
They're starting to get their. They've lost all their baby teeth already, and they've got their adult teeth. So they're not. They don't look like jack o' lanterns anymore that much, and also the skirt.
Kind of like the jack o' lantern look.
I kind of like the jack-o'-lantern look too, but also hormones haven't got their grip on them yet. So they're still very impressionable.
Yeah. My mom taught fourth, third, and second, like through her years of teaching. And I think third was her favorite because that's
Is your mom still teaching?
No, she retired about 10 years ago.
Give her a hug and tell her if Uncle Sam loves her.
Okay.
For all her service.
She's listening. Aww. She's listening. So
I'm telling her right now, I'm a teacher to another teacher. I was active in the. So if you guys want to take a look, in 2018 in West Virginia, there was the work stoppage that happened. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
So I was pretty active in that too. And if you go back and just do a Google search, you can just say Uncle Sam. And 2018 work stoppage. So I was pretty instrumental in. I was like the cheerleader at the Capitol, and I wore this costume.
Seen you in post. Now that I like am thinking about it.
Yeah. So like that AP picture of me went nationwide with me with my arms going like this. And I was right in the thick of the beast, the strike we were nine straight days. And, I don't know if I could have gone a 10th, I gave everything for hours and hours and hours, just yelling and screaming and getting everyone. So I took this serious. I didn't want to do this for Uncle Sam cause I thought it would make a mockery of what we did. Mm-hmm. But when I went in there and did that and wore the suit, it like galvanized, it helped kind of galvanize people. So, and people could kind of, you know, I met so many people doing that and I talked and hugged and was in like 1,000 pictures with people. And I'll never forget that moment. So that it, like anybody who's in a teaching profession, my hat's off to you, 1,000 hugs, because we're losing teachers left and right. It's not an easy field to be in.
Yeah.
So
especially
you just have to persevere.
And not to like tell my mom's story, but I'll say it like super quick. She is from Meadville, Pennsylvania, like Western Pennsylvania. And she came to West Virginia because they needed teachers in the 80s.
Right.
And the governor at the time and Rockefeller actually too, they reached out to like teaching schools. And I think about 10 people from her school came to Boone County to teach. And that's like, she was like technically recruited to come.
Wow.
And they actually she was paid more to come to West Virginia than Pennsylvania at the time, which is not the case now.
Pennsylvania is one of the best paying states in the state or in the union.
Yeah.
They're probably in the top five.
Yeah. But
West Virginia is on the bottom five. That's amazing. Well,
who had a master's and had taught and everything. But
that's amazing that she got that opportunity.
Yeah, and then she met my – she was only in a speech for a year, and then she met my dad. Yeah. And now they've been married.
And the rest is history.
Yes, it's history.
I wouldn't exist if they hadn't met. That hadn't have happened, if she hadn't been recruited. And yeah.
See, thank a teacher.
It was meant to be.
Go thank your mother. Give her big hugs from Funkle.
Yeah, go thank your mother.
She gave up everything to live in West Virginia.
Go thank your mother.
You know it.
But yeah, no, and I wanted to be a teacher, but she talked me out of it.
I understand that completely. And it's a very thankless job in a lot of ways. But because I on average, any teacher is given at least 50 hours a week. Easy. And that's kind of like bare minimum. If you want to even just do the job remotely well, you're spending 45, 50, 55, 60 hours a week.
And
that's unpaid.
To make it better for the kids.
That's right. And your own money to buy in supplies. And yeah, it's not easy. And it's just getting tougher and tougher.
Well, thank you for being a teacher.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a shame that they, did the unpaid thing just.
Well, I get some of the reasoning behind it, but also, lesson learned. You know, sometimes you funk them a little too hard. So if you do that, you just got to understand your boundaries and understand kind of what you're read the room a little bit better and understand your role a little bit better. So
yeah,
I definitely learned from it.
I'm glad you didn't do it at the school, because that's where I thought the story was leading at first, and I was like,
"No, I've always been."
Me too.
I'm always a firm believer in keeping private and personal separate, private and school related things, separate.
Yeah, so say private and personal are the same thing, but you mean
they're the same thing? Yeah, the private and school related things. So
private and personal separate,
Well. Kids will sometimes even come up to me, like, and when I was in high school, it was a little bit more, but now I'm a little bit more well known in Huntington. So people kind of like, I'll have kids. Like I had a kid ask me today, hey, he heard about Funktifest, and I went, uh-huh. And then I just kept on going. So I don't it's not that it's a bad thing. I mean, the festival is a fantastic festival and it's family friendly and whatnot. But I just try not to blur those lines.
So do you look different at school than you do right now?
Yeah. So you want to see me at school? So at school, I got my hair pulled back. And this is my school look.
It's like Superman. You just removed the glasses and now you're a different
person.
I love it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, this is my school look. So I got to look somewhat presentable, wearing my khakis, wearing whatever, So there I am.
You use a teacher voice instead of a Funkle Sam voice.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, I've been kind of easing off the Funkle Sam voice with you guys. I started off kind of hard, and then I brought it back.
I noticed
a
little bit. That.
Sometimes I forget I'm doing it, too, and then I'll go back into my regular self.
Yeah.
So, that's what it is.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know we're at time. Yeah. So it was really nice meeting you. And
Anna,
really,
Rachel, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you for reaching out. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was so
cool. Hey, spread the good word up there to MF. Thank you so much. Spread the good word of the MFB. Get us back up there. We'd love to come back up into Northern Virginia area and funk up the neighborhood. We have a song called Funkin' Up the Neighborhood. And we'd love to funk up the Northern VA area. We'd like to hit that
DMV.
Up. The DMV, that's right.
Yeah, the MFB and the DMV.
See, it's already clicking already as we speak. Mm-hmm. We've already got it. The DMV with the MFB.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Spread the good word.
Yes.
Come to West Virginia sometime. Come back to Funktifest.
Yes, please. Yes. I want to go.
Come back to Best Virginia. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh, did I cut it?
No, I love it.
I'm sorry.
I love it because
West Virginia and Best Virginia.
I will have to say West Virginia.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say West Virginia is gorgeous. That's all I was going to say. Plus Hannah's
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Plus Hannah is from there. And so that's what makes it wonderful. So.
Yeah, that's what makes it wonderful. Hannah's from there, and Funkelsam.
I make it wonderful. I'll tell you what.
That's right. So thanks for the opportunity, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe
so they will be notified of our next episode.
It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Stay healthy, everyone, and now back to our show.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
I really enjoyed it. I love that he is a teacher and on the side, and he has that, you know, drive to protest and to do, you know, the things for teachers that they need in West Virginia. And, you know, listening to a story that he does keep those two separate, which I think is kind of frustrating because it's not like he did it at school. Like, he didn't, you know, do that New Year's Eve thing at school. And I actually talked to my mom. I like told her about it, and she couldn't believe that he got unpaid leave, you know, based on something that wasn't at school. Like, that should be.
I was going to ask you that too. Sorry for interrupting. No, I was going to ask you if your mom said
no
something.
No students were involved. No, you know, I feel like it would be way different if he had done something, but, you know, water under the bridge, I guess it's in the past. So I won't like harp on it too much, but I did kind of find that ridiculous. But I really enjoyed, you know, talking to him, hearing about the story and the things that he is doing for Huntington, West Virginia is pretty amazing. And I really, you know, enjoyed his video, Big Booty Judy, and I hope that people, you know, listen to it and, you know, enjoy his other music. And he's truly talented and, I think he's a class act, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. What did you think about this episode?
I think he's a class act also, personally. Like, when he was just as soon as he came on the show, the energy too, like him being passionate about music along with art too. You have someone that has a creative sense to help others with their creativity too, to create that festival and bring them together. But then also you have a teacher. So you have this teacher who wants to help children and help the community and strive for the better too. I loved the fact that he did the protest because we need to treat our teachers better. That's it. We need to treat our teachers better. And the fact that he did that protest to make that stand in that outfit too, in, is just amazing, because like not many people are going to do that and get on the news. And it's not that he wanted to, but also, I mean, heck, it gave attention. It gave this drive to be like, hey, pay attention to this. These teachers deserve a lot more pay, benefits, and recognition too, especially no matter where you teach, because teachers are it's our backbone. They're our backbone of our country and stuff like that.
If you don't have teachers, you don't have doctors, you don't have everything.
Exactly. You don't have any of that. You don't have any of that.
Next week, tune in to listen to one of the Rock Paper Sisters. We interview Lindsay. We've yet to do it. We're getting ready to speak to her in the next couple of minutes, so I can't really say how it was, but I'm going to predict that the interview went really well. So make sure you tune in next week.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.